new way. John chapter 12, would you look at verse number 1. Then Jesus, six days before the Passover, came to Bethany. For Lazarus, which had been sick, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there they made him a supper. That's a good biblical word, supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, known at the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that which was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burial hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on him. Would you flip back to the book of Mark, chapter number 14, and Mark chapter 14, and verse number 8, I believe it is. It's going to be our text verse tonight. Mark 14, and verse number 8. And the Bible said, she hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burial. I want to talk to you on, have you done what you could? Have you done what you could? Father, as we bind your presence, my, how good you've been to me today. Lord, I marvel at your providence that allowed me and Brother Brandon's path to cross many years back. Lord, I never dreamed that you'd ask us to come preach and have enjoyed these other people, God, saints of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray now that a little while the good Spirit of God would overshadow us and empower us. And Lord, speak to our hearts and encourage us. And Lord, get glory and honor to the darling Son of God. Be with one that they said lost loved one today that they put in the graveyard. Be with I'm assuming maybe it's a teenage girl that's been killed in that family situation. God, would you help in that, Lord? Oh, God, help us now tonight. Bring things to our remembrance, Lord. Put it together the way you want it, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Had you done what she could? Here the Bible said Jesus said that. She had done what she could. Now, you know, not every time, but something other, Brother Brandon, I really enjoy is when you can pinpoint when a chapter or verse of Scripture has been written. Now, you'll find there in the book of Psalms, several of them, if you've got a study Bible, it is said during the time of Saul, or during the time of my friend of Absalom, the things that he's doing this day. And you can just pinpoint it. Well, in the book of John chapter 12, you can pinpoint it. It's the last week of the Lord's ministry. The results of his public ministry, there's two things that are emphasized. Number one, the deepened appreciation of his own. And number two, the steady hardening of unbelief from his enemies. Lazarus, redemption brings a sinner into the presence of the Lord, not trembling, but perfect peace. And then we find when he restored Jairus' daughter, he said, give the parents to eat. And the widow's son at nine, he restored him to his mother, then retired. But Lazarus, when he was among friends, he rejoiced, and they brought him meat to eat. Remember? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Oh, listen, my friend, we need to get hungry. for the things of God. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, the disciples, when he come back in John chapter 4 and talked with the woman, and they said, has anybody given meat? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Boy, I'm going to tell you, thank God when people get hungry for the things of God. I'll be honest with you. This has stirred me this week. And, you know, it seemed like it's about everywhere I go. Instead of me being a blessing, everybody else is a blessing to me. And, boy, I tell you what, I've been encouraged. Honestly, I want to try to do more for the Lord Jesus. I want to talk some more. Just meeting that couple down yonder at the store. And I met one of the men here's daddy today. I invited him and he said, my son goes there. And I said, well, amen. And I said, come on down then. And I'm just amazed at people you come in contact with. And you just never know who you're going to meet or who's going to come by you at life. And, but I will. I want to try to cut her down tonight, and I appreciate you coming. I know you got school, and every time at church, I got a couple that sits about three rows back like that. They do here when I say I'm going to preach short. She just shrugs her head and grins real big, and she said, I can read her lips, said you a lying. Amen. But I'm going to try my best to get it short to you tonight. I want to give you about five things here. I want to say, first of all, my friend, the supper that they made Jesus. Well, I'll tell you, when you look at this, and I want to show you three things. Number one, it was a Thanksgiving supper. See, this family's not always got along together with one another. In the book of what is it, Luke chapter number 10, here they find the same two sisters. And she said, Lord, why don't you tell her to come help me? And there was a little friction there. But I want to tell you, my friend, it's a Thanksgiving supper now. You know, I've always really been kind of anybody that thinks they do too much for God. Amen. Hey, listen, I had this to happen. I had a couple to show up. I know I had a boy with them. And anybody comes to my church, I'll go visit them, you know, and I went to see them, and we talked a while, and I'm always leery when the wife and the woman does all the talking, amen. I know that's a trait to have, but, I mean, you know, if a man's spiritual, but anyhow, I'll just drop that right there. But anyhow, she took over. Here's what she said, Brother Raymond. She said, we're not going to get involved in the next church we go to. In the last church, we was in the RAs and the GAs, and we did this, and we did that. We're just not going to be that involved in the next church. Honest before the Lord, when I got in my car and pulled on the highway, I said, God, come to my church. Amen. Anybody thinks they do too much for God, something is wrong. I find myself apologizing over and over. God, will you forgive me? God, I've not done what I could. For I want to say it was a Thanksgiving supper. But then I want to say number two, it was a timely supper. Boy, listen, hey, our Lord was with that family that He loved. Because the next week is going to Calvary. Within the next few days is going to Calvary. And can you just see Him? Son, He's like a sponge. He's eating it up, my friends. I mean, they made Him a supper. And boy, I tell you what, it's a Thanksgiving supper. It's a timely supper. Somebody said, well, I don't know a whole lot to be thankful for. Hey, watch this. Somebody, if God raised one of your loving from the dead, you think you'd be happy and shouting? That's exactly what happened. Did the Bible not say that He raised them from the dead? Anytime anybody gets saved, that's exactly what happened. He said, you have been quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. And God, listen, births them in this family, puts life within them, puts Christ within them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, don't you tell me that God get inside you and you not be different. I don't believe in it. I believe you'll be different. You might not be talkative. And about our friendly son, you love his house, you love his people. Listen, you love the Word of God. I believe that. It is a Thanksgiving supper. It is a timely supper. And it was a together supper, togetherness. I get the last syllable in there. For there they were. Other time they was fussing and going on. But now, can you see? Old Lazarus is sitting there at the table with the Lord Jesus. And Martha, she might have come in there. She said, you know, probably the last time we got together, remember Mary, I kind of complained. I want to tell you I'm sorry. We ought to be kind of pulling together. Oh, listen, thank God. It's together. But you know, it's not like that in all churches. For did you know they churches fuss and fight? Did you know they churches where one won't speak to the other on the other side? Hard feelings. My friend has stayed in churches for years and years and years. I'm going to tell you what. I'd have to get that thing right. I might need to pray tonight. He said, if you have got iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayer. And if you would ask for your brother or sister in Christ, you can save your breath and pray until you get right. I'm going to tell you, it's a together supper. Hey, listen, there's nothing worth having a falling out about, especially on the things of God. For I want to say, I'm up in the supper that they made him. Number two, the sight. You know, I've seen unusual things happen at church. Some of these preachers, old Brother Bob Weldon, he just got one eye, and he was running at church. Somebody said, I don't believe that. I don't believe in running. Well, wait a minute. Can I give you a verse of Scripture? The book of Acts chapter 3 said they was running and leaping and praising God. Is that what it says? Now listen, I never run in church, but I told God if he'd save one of my son-in-laws, I'd run. And by God saved him. You know, when my daughter come down, I was wondering, I said, Lord, this is going to be all in the flesh, I guess. I done told my church I was going to do that. But I don't tell you what, when that son-in-law come down, I'd prayed 4 or 8 years. And when my daughter come down, it wasn't hard. Amen. And, you know, it's a strange thing to me. We get excited about the things of the world and don't get excited about God. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm going to save the sight. Mary was deaf. But I got ahead of myself there. Oh, Brother Bob, he come around this way. And the song leader's coming this way. I thought, boy, this is going to be bad. They're going to knock heads right here in front of the church, you know. And right at the last minute, Brother Bob dodged them. I said, amen, God's in it, amen. Oh, listen, I want to say, my friend, somebody said, I just don't believe it. Hey, I like it when it gets slapped out of the banks, amen. I like it when they get a case of the can't help it. I got no boy at church, son. Now, he don't want to show any emotions. He don't like to cry. And he'll do everything he can to keep from crying. But boy, sometimes God will go to pour it on him. His eyes will get real red. And I'm saying, God, pour it on him. Amen. I love to see people. Hey, listen, you living in the quietest world you'll ever live in if you've been born again. He said the hallelujahs are like the waves of the sea if you've ever been by out of the ocean, my friend. They're going to be singing. I tell you what, I enjoy this. And I enjoy a good singing. Can you imagine when thousands times 10,000 get the singing? There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all the guilty stain. Would have to have a glorified body to stand it. Amen. For and by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but heaven is air conditioned. We said, now I'm assuming you got a chapter and verse. I do. It's in the book of Revelation said, and there's no heat in the city. Amen. So if there's no heat there, then it's got to be air conditioned. Amen. And so there's a sight. Boy, I love to see it. And can you see this sight there? Watch this now. Everything was focused on him. Her faith, her attitude, I cannot do too much. But then notice, see, is that, you ever notice there's always some old cold tater that kind of wants to put a damper on everything? Just so happens one of the disciples said, this has been a waste. Why wasn't this given to the poor? And I'm sure she probably thought, you know, Hannah, but then I can't prove it. But I think she might have looked up, and I think there might have been a smile on Jesus' face. And to watch this now, she was ahead of knowledge on the disciples. because he said she has kept this for the day of my burial. She knew he was going to die. And my friends, brought that to embalm him. I want to tell you what, my friends, everything's focused on him. And the faith attitude, I cannot do too much. And boy, listen, they was worshiping him. But now watch this. I want to say it seems strange to the world. Seems strange to the world when people give. Did you know what I found out in my... I've noticed it. And you think back. Services that involve giving or special giving, God always really touches it special. You know, a lot of Baptists miss that giving about worship. I remember one year at a camp meeting, I had a preacher in my church. He'd quit his job. He'd quit it and he moved, but he hadn't moved the family. I think he preached three times. They voted him out. Man, it was a short stay there. Amen. And he come back, and his dear wife, man, she was broken. She was weeping, and he was weeping. And boy, they come down. My friends, and matter of fact, I think it was during the invitation they come down. And boy, she just weeping. And God moved on my heart. And I turned around and I said, people, we're going to do something a little different tonight. I said, I know we done took up a love offering as other evangelists. But I said, I feel like we're to give Brother Johnny and his dear wife a love offering. And man, we just took another offering. And boy, I tell you what, people got to praise in the Lord. And I like it, you know. And when people really want to, and boy, you get to giving and honoring God and doing special things for God and giving really beyond your means. You'd be surprised what God will do. Did he not say, thou bless a cheerful giver? It seems strange to the world. They call it a waste when you give. I never forget. I know I heard about tithing, but I really don't remember till I moved my membership. Moved my membership. Now, you talk about a trial and a test. I was a pianist. I was a Sunday school superintendent. And boy, when I told my daddy that I'd moved my membership, he would have made a good Marine sergeant. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, he said, he just said, I believe you fall on a pre... Well, matter of fact, he didn't say it to my face. Y'all probably don't know over here in Oklahoma about party lines, do you? Did y'all used to have party lines? Oh, boy, we did. One ring means so-and-so, two rings mean... Boy, I tell you what, when you picked up, click, 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 everybody's picking up, listening to you know. And I happened to pick up, and I was at my grandmother's, and dad's at home, and I heard him and my uncle talk, and he said, I'll tell you what, that preacher over there just about brainwashed him. And said the only reason he's going over there just cause that preacher. No, it wasn't God been dealing my heart. That was my first test. Well, I tell you what, God got on my heart. Cause I tell you what, it's cold out there. I tell you the thing that really sold me. Over there, like I said the other night, they prayed and prayed. And when we had revival at my home church there, I got the men and the preacher and the visiting preacher. And I said, let's pray for revival. And I went back there Monday night, even though I had to get them back there on Tuesday night, didn't nobody say nothing about it. Preacher didn't say, Vista Vanish didn't say, Deacon didn't say nothing. Devil said, if they don't want to go, ain't you a little foolish to go back there? So I didn't. And didn't nobody pray the rest of the week. And I tell you what, I'd never seen service like they have over there. Oh, Lord, I loved it. Amen. I mean, they'd get to squall and bawl. I never seen it. I'm talking about people crying uncontrollably. And I tell you one night, I mean, it got on. The wind got to blowing. And you know what they done? They got to come hugging my neck, telling me they love me. I'd never had that happen to me. I thought that boy, Brother B and Sister B Johnson, I'm telling you this is true. With my hand up, what I've been telling you. Old Brother B, come over. He's about 75. And his hand was kind kind of shaking, you know. And he said, "Oh, Brother Terry, said we love you so much. Said we're so glad you come over here." And boy, he hugged my neck. They wouldn't hug necks out there at my church. Oh no, they'd look at you, you know. And hey, wouldn't nobody say amen. And then here, Sister B come. She come around there, you know. And boy, she just had to hug my neck. And you know, I told you I couldn't breathe good through my nose. And well, I tell you what, I was a crying. I had to have air. You listen to me, yeah. And I said, when I did, I just stuck the whole mouth full of her hair right in my mouth. Amen. And somebody said, "What'd you do?" I just blowed her right back out. Amen. And I want to tell you what, I never got over that. And I like it. I like it when the saints of God fellowship with one another and tell one another. By the way, how long's it been since you told somebody you appreciate them? How long's it been since you told somebody you loved them and thank God for them, my friend? Can I say this? I'm not trying to play on your emotions. I might have said it tonight. Dead folk can't hear you. I want to say it seems strange for one time, and I don't know. It ain't really nobody's business what goes on in this church, but this church, really the community don't have to hear about it, huh? Listen, I don't have to hear about what the man of God gets. And but anyhow, I overheard a couple of men down at the store talking to one another. One of them said it. Did you hear how much they give the preacher down there? Give the evangelist. And I started to say, it ain't none of your business. It seems strange to the world. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I got a giving church. It's been a process and a learning process. Oh, yeah. Son, God's been good to us. And you give, and you just pour it in. I've noticed it in there. I believe, according to what I've read, I believe y'all promised giving. Well, I tell you what, I really believe, oh, man, I got to go. I got to quit running rabbits. Amen. Well, I want to say our activities seem strange to the world, huh? I can't understand you crying at church. I can't understand you shouting at church. I can't understand that. I want to say, my friend, the supper, and then the sight, and then it seems strange. And then I want to say the sounds of the Savior's words. Let her alone. Let her alone. She had done what she could. Oh, listen, let her alone. I wanted to see him put approval on what she's done. But then I want to say, I want to get this one and one more tonight, because I really want to talk about this next one. And that's the smell, huh? Yeah. Did you know the Bible has a lot to say about the smell? Well, I'll tell you what, our church is really, really small. I don't mean that. I mean, I want to try to go back and try to get some teenagers coming. We don't have any coming to our church. But my training union, no. Sunday school superintendent did a devotion on sneeze the other day. You remember back there in the book of Kings when Elisha breathed and said he sneezed? I didn't know this. Did you know sneeze don't start in the nose, it's in the brain? Yeah. The brain tells you to sneeze. Boy, I tell you what, he tied some things together. Man, I thought, man, I said, how in the world did he get all of that out of that? And boy, this smell. But I want you to know, watch this now. Boy, can you just imagine? I mean, and if you go back and study about this spikenard, it was a wage, a year's wages. And I think it was kind of her death policy, her burial policy. And she saved it up probably to bear herself. And she said, "No, I got to thinking about it. I'm going to do that for the Lord Jesus." Now watch this. I want to say it was a sweet smell or a pleasing smell. Yeah. Man, can you imagine that going through the house? And then I want to say, not only, my friend, was it a pleasing smell, but it was a penetrating smell. Didn't take long. It got on the outside. Amen. Somebody said, "What's going on in there?" I said, "Man, you're not going to believe it. That woman busted that, broke it, and poured it all over him, and took her hair and wiped his feet, and said, 'Man, I'm going to tell you, y'all.' And boy, they couldn't get in the house, you know. But I got to talk about, there's a couple of verses in the book of Amos that's very interesting. Let me see if I can pull them up. He said, I despise your feast days. Listen now. I will not smell your solemn assembly. Did you know that this assembly tonight's got a smell about it? Did you know that most of it is the world's smell tonight? Boy, I want to tell you that my grandson he went to church, and when he got out, he was so loud. He said, "Papa, I thought surely it's not coming out of that building." And said when he went in there, they had all kind of lights flashing at church. Oh, I'm tell you what, isn't that a crying shame? Hey, we're not going to a bar room. You're going to God's house. Amen. It ought to be like God's house when you go. Ought to be old time worship and praise and songs of Zion and 7-Eleven over and over and over. Amen. I don't like contemporary music. I like old time singing. Amen. Yeah, I like to. I tell you what, I appreciate. Boy, the other night, they was all singing good. But I know this little girl over here, boy, she was a bearing down. Amen. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. I like it when they're not ashamed to sing for the Lord. I like when they, listen, these teenagers, boy, it's good to see them up here. That encourages me. A lot of teenagers don't even get up at church, let alone get up and sing. I say, thank you, teenagers. Boy, you bless my heart. You encourage me, and I want to say it was a pleasing smell, and it was a penetrating smell. And he said, I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assembly. You ever said this? Didn't we have a sweet service today? Huh? What was it? His presence. Yeah, His presence. And it gives off that sweet smell to it. Ain't no flesh in it. By the way, let me see, I always get them mixed up. One of them, was it Esau and Jacob? And then their dad was about blind. And he said, "You got the voice." He said, "Come over here. Let me smell you." Yeah, what the Bible said. And said he had the smell of the field on him. Had the smell of the world on him. Amen. Well, I want to tell you why. And can I say this to encourage you? You ought to spend a little time with God before you come to God's house. Amen. You ought to get a little God on you before you. When everybody, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you what. If it's just 1 out of 7 and it's Wednesday night, only time you get any help, my friend, I'm going to tell you what. You need it every day. You need it every day. And I'm going to give you the last one there. But I'm going to say, watch this man. It all started with sitting at his feet. Did you know the 3 times she's mentioned in the Bible, it's always at Jesus' feet? Yeah. She's always sitting at his feet. Oh, listen, anyone, everyone, men, women, if they spend time with Him, it all starts at His feet. Oh, listen, I like what one old Puritan writer said. He said, embalming Him. She embalmed herself, my friend, and love being the marvel on which her name indeed was sculptured. Mary gave Christ a monetary embalmment, and He embalmed her memory, and my friend, forever in the sweet incense of His praise. Oh, my friends, what a witness is this for Christ. That'll never be forgot. And the deed, however small, which is done, my friends, for Him, will my friends be there forever. I was looking this evening. I was really going to go about it a little different way on this thing. And then the Bible said this. Let me see if I can pull it up. Let me see. It's in the book of Galatians 6:10. As you have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are the household of faith. Hey, watch this now. When you do good, you bear His likeness. Because Luke 6:38, He went about doing what? Good. You ought to try to find somebody to do something good for the cause of Christ. But I was thinking about this. What about His feet? Well, I got to thinking. Number one, the wounds that had been made. Now, I'll not split hairs with theology over it. They sang the song about His scars, but the Bible don't call them scars. The Bible said they're going to recognize them by the wounds. Did you know that you was one responsible for some of those wounds? Oh, I said, now, preacher, well, wait a minute. Would you look in the book of 1 Peter? I believe it's chapter number 2. And about verse number 24, I think it is. What's this now? Who? I was talking about Jesus. In His own body, bare our sins. Whose sins? Our sins. Bear our sin in His own body on the tree. Boy, I never forget. We had a rule. If you missed football practice, you was automatically put on the B team. So I missed practice one day. And the coach, he put me over there I'd got to start with, put me over there on the defense. And so they run a few plays. And then when I come to the line of scrimmage, I looked, and he'd switched tight backs. The old boy's name was Andy Russell. Andy's sister was a member of my church for a long time. And I thought, boy, Andy, he's fast. I said, they're going to run over this way. Man, the coach is going to get all over me. So instead of getting head up the center or head up the tackle, I got in the gap. Boy, when I snapped that ball, I beat that other guy just a split second. And sure enough, it was a quick pitch. But all I got was one finger in there behind his jersey. And when I went down, I throwed him down, broke that collarbone. Coach got on to me. Man. Said, y'all let him go. I said, Cole, if I let him go, you'd have got all over me. And I didn't mean to hurt him. Well, what's this? On Friday night, he's a senior. He's over on the sideline. And the reason why he's there is because what I've done. When I think about what I've done to you. When I think about, listen, I think that's one reason why his wounds are going to be, my friends, easy recognizable all through eternity to remind us of Calvary and remind us of his love for us, for what he done for us, my friends. Oh, listen, when I think about his feet, I think about the wounds that's there. My friend, when you go down, you're reminded of it then. The walk that he left us, man, it's reminded me of the walk for the Lord Jesus. And then it reminds me of the way that He paved it for me. He left me a path easy to follow. I could follow close as I could to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, have you done what you could? And I know that's a kind of a general, broad statement, but have God really maybe dealt with your heart some way about a specific thing? Maybe some God's been dealing with you about doing something other than you just haven't been doing. Maybe I don't know what it is. I'm not the Spirit of God. Maybe you're not spending time in the Word. I don't know what it is, but he said she had done what she could. She had kept it. Oh, I tell you, we're going to see him one of these days. And I've often thought, he said over there, the book of Matthew, well done, thy good and faithful servant. What's he going to say to somebody that's not been faithful? I don't believe Jesus is alive to you. By the way, the book of 1 Peter, I don't know exactly what it is, but he talks about an entrance. I believe if you really study that out, the entrance is going to be a little different for some. They going to heaven, sure enough. I mean, he said in the book of Corinthians, saved yet so as by fire, but and in a psalm, and I'll give you this illustration I'm through tonight. Boy, you ever thought about standing before him empty-handed? Years ago, my sister was killed tragically in a head-on collision car wreck. Two little boys and an 18-month-old baby girl that she didn't think she'd ever have. There was a man at my church that's come to me. He was crying, preacher. He said, Brother Terry, I'm so sorry. She said, I just didn't have any money to buy any flowers. Boy, he was just boozing. I said, oh, don't think nothing about that. Well, can you imagine standing before him with nothing to show? No rewards. No crown. Nothing to show. You know, some people said, I'll tell you what, I'm not worried about really getting any crowns. If I just get that, I'm going to say, you better do some checking out. I tell you what, I want to talk to other people, invite them to go with us, invite them to Jesus. I want to invite others that might be, I tell you, I said I was going to quit old boy I worked with in the woods. Boy, I tell you what, he was rough, man. I didn't know him. He lost a house of 56 acres of land because of drugs. The old boy got saved, and man, I got to talking to him, and he said, "Preacher, I got down in the dirt road and called on God." And boy, I tell you what, it was just amazing. It was unbelievable what he would sacrifice and do. And he said, I lost it all, and now I said, "God bless me with some more." And he said, "I want to serve him, boy." And I tell you what, he just, well, I tell you what, a preacher, you know, it ought not to be a dread, it ought to be a joy to come to church. Now, I know you get tired in body. I do too. Oh, I tell you, there's something about coming to church sometimes that revives me. Man, you come in, all of a sudden you get shaking hands, and somebody will say something, somebody will say nothing. All of a sudden, boy, you said, I sometimes riding home, well, I said, "I thought you was tired." I said, "I was, but I got to church, amen." But boy, I tell you what, getting around God's people. Hey, there's just something about getting around the saints, amen. I love it, amen. I just be straight up with you. Boy, I like shaking hands. I got to thinking, we hadn't really got back to hugging necks over our way, you know, because of the fires, you know. And I tell you what I was thinking of now. I said, man, I hope it gets a slap out of the bank. They forget about all that, you know. We'll just come up and hug people's necks, you know. Maybe somebody, there's been a blessing to you. And I'm not trying to work it up, Pastor. You know what to do. You might want to go hold somebody's neck tonight.